Alright, so last time I talked about a month ago, we'll just do a real quick review, we'll just touch on a couple verses, and then we'll kind of expand on what we talked about last time today. So we were talking about the heart of man and what the Bible says about the heart of man, and the Bible has a lot to say, and so we looked in, we'll look at this verse again later today, but God looks at the heart, okay? And we'll just turn, let's just turn there, okay? To 1 Samuel chapter 16.
Well, start with prayer.
Oh, yeah. We'll start with the word of prayer. All right. Dear Lord, we thank you for this time that we can have together to meet here in Memphis and study your word, rightly divided. And we know the truth that is in your word that can help our lives and give us life to overcome the difficulties that we have. And we pray that we can embolden us and it can strengthen us to reach out and talk to the people around us, the lost people in the world and other saints we know, to help them as well. And we pray in your name. Amen. All right. So we're not going to look at all the verses from last week, but just a couple. So 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. So this verse is when Samuel was going to be helping pick the new king of Israel to replace Saul. And it says, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." Okay? And we talked about how when you look at the world and all the things that they comment on about people, it's not what the Lord looks at. It's the heart. And the God tells us in his Bible all the things that he sees in our heart. And to understand our heart, we need to go to the Lord and his word to hear what he says about it. Okay? And there are all these things that we went over that the heart does. It can speak, it has thoughts, okay? A heart speak, it could think and imagine. In Genesis 6:5, it says, "All the thoughts and imaginations of the sons of men was only evil continually." It has intent, how in Isaiah with Lucifer, all the I wills and all the things that Lucifer wanted to do and his evil plan in his heart. It affects the flesh, our heart, the emotions can come out in our it could cause us to cry and cause us to laugh. It can cause our countenance to change. It has many emotions. It could be sad. It could be sad. It could be exercised. And Peter talks about the covetous exercises that the heart can practice. It can be lifted up. It can be humbled. You can be have a prideful heart. You can have a humble heart. So there's lots and lots of things that the Lord says our heart can do and is that we need to understand. Okay. And God searches these things. He looks at our heart and he knows what's in it. And I'm not going to go through all these verses because we have a lot of verses to go through today, but I just want to review how the heart is a real thing. It can do lots of different things, and God wants us to be aware of that. Then let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. We'll look at this verse. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. All right. So how does God look at our heart? Well, he uses his word. It says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So that last part of the verse there, how the word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And when God looks at our heart, He uses his word to see if the thoughts of our heart line up with what's in his word. If we have faith, he's looking for faith in our hearts in his word. And that's how he determines if our hearts and our will and our intention is with him or not, is if our thoughts line up with his word. It says, for the word of God, and then it says, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Okay. So we talked about the word of God and how we need to have it in our hearts. And the Bible also talks a lot about what our hearts are. So let's look at, we'll go to Jeremiah 22:17. Let's see, is this the one? No. It's not the verse. Jeremiah 17:9. Yeah, Jeremiah 17:9. I don't look at those up there. I've wrote it in wrong. Jeremiah 17:9. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So this is the heart of man in our natural state. This is our heart that we inherited from Adam, the heart that is in our flesh. And this is what the Bible says about it. This is what God says our heart is. He says, the heart is deceitful above all things. We talked about last week how the heart is the real weapon of mass destruction in this world. And we talked about how if you want to change the evil in the world, you have to change the heart of man first. And how it says it's desperately wicked. Who can know it? It's just amazing the evil that comes out of people's hearts. And it's beyond things we can even imagine. And the reason is because of our heart. And so then we're going to talk more about the solution of how we change this in our lives. And Paul has the answer that we're going to find of how we can deal with this evil heart in our life. And we need to go to God's word, and specifically we need to go to Paul, because he has the answer for us today in this age of grace. And so first, last week we just talked about some general verses of how to change our heart. And David knew this in Psalms 119, verse 9. Psalms 119:9-11. Hey, how's it going? All right, Psalms 119:9-11. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Okay, so that verse there, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. So it's the word of God in our hearts that will cause it to change. Okay? And this has always been true. This has always been true since David. But the words that we need to believe today, we're going to look at a little closer. And we're also going to look a little closer today at David and his heart and how the Bible says that he had a perfect heart. And we're going to look at Israel, and we can better understand Israel's future and what God is going to do with them by understanding it dispensationally, and how Israel's heart, God was working with it, and he was only working with the Jew. And then when Christ came to the earth, all the prophecy in the Old Testament was fulfilled when they rejected him and they crucified him. And then all that prophecy was fulfilled, and then it showed them to be who they really were with their evil heart. And then God cast them aside, and he brought in the Apostle Paul. And Paul teaches us new doctrine on our heart. So, yeah, these were just more verses on how that I taught last week on how our heart needs God's word. Okay. Oh, I had some dumb little cartoons. Just how God is the mechanic, and He opens us up, and He sees our heart, and he needs to. We need to let Him work on it. And then we went over some neat verses last week of what the Word of God should make our heart do when we read it. And how about Jeremiah 15:16? So when we do hide God's word in our heart, and when we do find it, and when we do let it in, when we do have faith, and when we do believe, the word of God in Jeremiah 15:16, this is what should happen in our heart. It says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart." The joy and rejoicing of mine heart. It should cause our hearts to sing and to be happy, because it's God's word that has entered in. It's how He designed us. It's how He made us. This word is it's built into our framework, our workings, the blueprint of our being, and we need to really feed it every day. All right, so I thought this was kind of funny for Valentine's Day. The heart looking at the fake heart-shaped box. Talk about impossible bodies. All right. Okay, so now, so that was last week, just a brief overview. And so coming into this week, I want to talk more about, I guess we'll skip. So there's, I had verses about the Jew, and I had verses about the body of Christ. So which do we want to do first? How about we talk about the body of Christ first? So we'll eventually talk about David. We'll talk about Israel, God's plan for Israel. Let's talk about God's plan for our heart. So let's go to Romans chapter 6. If we go to Romans chapter 6, verse 6. So, now this is Paul, okay? Now Paul was given some new truth from God that was revealed just to him. And it's about the body of Christ that Christ is now forming today. And this body of Christ is special. And the way that He's working with it is special as well. And we need to know about it, okay? And this problem of this sinful, evil, deceitful heart, man has had since the beginning. And now that Paul is on the scene, he tells this truth that we have for the first time about what happened on the cross. And he reveals further truth about what happened on the cross. So in Romans chapter 6, verse 6, it says, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him." It's dead. "That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." And you know what was present in that body of sin? Our heart, our old heart. Everything that had to do with our old man, including that old nature, that old heart that we have from Adam, is dead. And that's the answer right there. God just, He crucified it. He destroyed it. And Paul gives us the answer of how to defeat that old man. Everything that, all those thoughts, all those imaginations, all those intents, all those that will, everything that was a part of our old man. Hello. Everything that was a part of that old man, God took and crucified on the cross. So let's read that again. knowing this, well, actually, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. We were baptized into that death. We and Christ, we were baptized into him. And he took upon that old man and he killed it there on the cross. Something that we could not do ourselves, but he did it for us. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And you know what? The only thing that you or I need to do is just deem it to be so, is just reckon it to be true, and is just to believe that he did that for us on the cross. And that's the answer to everything, is that he did it on the cross. He crucified our old man, our old heart. It's dead. And you know what? We're risen with him, and we're alive, and to walk in that newness of life. And the way that you do that is through faith. If we go to verse 17 of Romans chapter 6, verse 17. I'm not following this. I don't know. Okay, verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which has delivered you. See how it says you obeyed from the heart? You know that form of doctrine? You know what doctrine you need to obey? That verse right there where it says that our old man is crucified with him. And when you do that, you know what happens? Verse 18, being then made free from sin. I read this sad obituary of this 20-some-year-old kid, and it just really touched my heart. And it was a young kid who was just like anyone else, and he was ended up developing a brain tumor and when he was about 20, 21 years old. And he was a Christian boy who some of my friends knew. I didn't know him. And I read the obituary yesterday. I saw it on Facebook, and I opened it up. And it was written by his Christian parents. And it was it went along the lines of how they used this word that I had never heard before, but I looked it up, and the word was, I can't even pronounce it, but I looked it up, and the word meant like to suddenly and quietly leave. And they used it as that he was lying in his bed in the ICU, and all of a sudden he silently and quietly left his body that kept him entrapped with, you know, and that just this body that was dilapidating, and he silently and quietly left it, and he went to be with the Lord, his Savior, and he was the life of the party that night in heaven, you know. But the fact that he was free from that body that was in the ICU, we are free from that body of sin that Christ destroyed on the cross. And the way that you really live free is in verse 17. Obey from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. And just as that, you know, 22-year-old, you know, boy who was overtaken with this brain tumor and it was just the saddest story, and he left that day. His parents must have turned around and he was gone. The word they used was just so touching. The English language, the word that they used to describe that, it was like gone in an instant. They turned around and he was gone. He escaped. He was free from that body. When you believe, any moment in your life, any person can be made free at any time from that body of sin by just believing the doctrine. Okay? So this is Paul's answer. This is Paul's answer to that heart that keeps man entangled in sin. And Paul, over and over, talks about being crucified with Christ. Okay? In Colossians 2:20. Make sure this is recording. I heard there was a little snafu last week.
Yeah, Maya didn't record. He said you stuck it in your pocket and turned it off.
Colossians 2:20. So there's lots of verses where Paul talks about us being crucified with Christ. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ, okay? If ye be dead with Christ, it's us in Christ, dead with him from the rudiments of the world. Why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? So this is kind of talking about the law more and us being dead to that. But we're dead to lots of things because of Christ and because of that cross and because of Calvary. And if we go to Galatians 2:20. This is kind of a popular verse, Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Okay? There again, I am crucified with Christ. And that's a wonderful thing to be, is to be crucified with him. And he didn't have to do that for us. He gave himself for us on that cross. And he did that because he loved us. And he did that because he knew of what would happen because of that crucifixion. And he knew that that crucifixion would be able to give us life and would be able to free us from our old man. And for I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet now I, but Christ liveth in me. See, we had nothing to do with the death, and we have nothing to do with the resurrection. It's all Christ. And it's all just believing, and it's all just having faith. And we need to believe that we are crucified with him, and we need to believe that we are risen with him. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Okay? And yeah, these are wow verses. And it should really bring joy and rejoicing to our heart when we believe them. And, you know, at any time, it doesn't matter what state, you know, in our everyday lives, we don't always live like this. You know, we don't always live with this victory. And even this morning, or yesterday, or this past week, there's things that cause us to fall away from these truths. But the thing is, these truths have nothing to do with us. They have everything to do with him. And at any moment, you can just believe these verses and your life can change. And you have to continually remind yourself of these verses throughout the week to continue to renew your mind throughout the week. And don't think that you've done too much bad or you've drifted too far away from him. No, God can we're going to look at how when God looks at our heart now, he sees the righteousness of his son. And he doesn't see your old man anymore because it's dead. He sees Christ now in you. And that's something that a lot of churches get wrong, is they put all the pressure on you, and it's more of a guilt thing. But all the work has been done by Christ on the cross, and you are perfect now, and you are complete in him. We have all spiritual blessings. And when Christ looks at you, you need to look at yourself as Christ looks at you. And it will, you know, all these like self-confidence courses and things that, you know, they're never going to work because they're always looking at, they're always depending on yourself. You need to look at yourself as how Christ looks at you, and that you're complete and you're righteous. And this is all told by Paul. Because Paul is the person who talks about. Let's go to let's look at those verses then. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 1:30. So, 1 Corinthians 1:30. Now, this is talking about who we are in Christ and what Christ has made himself to be for us. But of him, it's always of him. It's never of ourself. But of him are ye, this is what you are, this is what we are in Christ. Are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption? That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So we are in Christ, and because of that, we are these things. Okay? He has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And when he looks at us, we are completely righteous, we are completely sanctified, and we are completely redeemed because we are in Christ. And it has nothing to do with ourselves. In Ephesians 4, verse 24. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. When God looks at us, he sees the new man. And when he sees the new man, he sees that it's righteous and true holiness, because the new man is in Christ. And so there's a distinction, a point here that kind of, so there's a difference between our standing and our state, okay? Our standing before Christ is that we're righteous and true and true holiness. And it will always be like that forever. We are sealed until the day of redemption, and we will always be righteous in his eyes. But our state, our everyday living, we can definitely, and we all know that we can be far from that. Okay? But what we want to do is we want to bring ourselves in line with our standing. And the way that we do that is just to believe what our standing is by faith, to believe the doctrine from the heart. Okay. So the point I want to make here is that when God looks at our heart, he sees the righteousness of his Son. And we don't need to be worried. All of our sins are forgiven. We are complete in Christ. We don't need to be worried or feel guilty about things that we've done. We just need to change. We just need to move on and walk in the new man if we're not. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:21. There's just so many wonderful things that Christ, because we are in him, because we have been crucified with him, because we are now in the body of Christ, there's, in addition to our old man being crucified, we are, in the new man, there is so many things that we have. And we went over, and there's just many verses that explain that, like in 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Okay? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And we have his righteousness right now because we are in him. Okay? And all we have to do is believe that. Believe that doctrine from that heart. Believe Paul's doctrine. All right, I feel like I've said the same thing too many times. okay, that being said, we will never, our standing before Christ will never change, okay? But that doesn't mean we can't make the wrong decisions. But let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You know, the God loved us so much that he did all these things for us, And when we choose the sin instead of obey, instead of have faith in His word, it grieves Him. And He really does have a heart that has emotion just as we have. You know, we're made in His image, and just as we have emotion, and He does too, and we are His children. And I don't have kids, but I know I've definitely grieved my parents at times. But I know that we need to not grieve Him, and that's by having faith in His word. And but He gives us that comfort at the last half of this verse, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And that even though we might grieve Him, we are still sealed, because in Him we are righteous, because it's all about Him and not about us. So this is Paul's answer to our problem. And it's about the cross, and it's about being baptized into Him, being crucified with Him, being risen with Him, and that it's about faith, and it's about believing the doctrine from the heart. And that's how you walk in the new man. And we need to do this, day by day, Paul says. We need to renew our minds with this doctrine. This is a good verse in Philippians 3:13. So this should be our attitude with regards to our old heart. We should never want to think about, like, we should want to leave it in the dust, okay? Brethren, Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Those things which are behind are those things of our old man. Those things that God wants us to forget about. Okay? And we need to reach forth with this new wisdom that Paul has given us in his epistles here. Forgetting means to put it out of your mind. And Christ constantly, Paul wants us to renew our minds. Okay? So we need to forget, you know, the things of our old man. And if they come up in our mind again, we need to renew them and try to correct them with the word of God. And the things that we need to forget, let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. See those old things that are passed away? The things that were crucified on the cross there, passed away. You know, if someone doesn't want to say like that, you know, they died, they usually say they passed away. You know, it's those old things that are dead. Christ wants, Paul encourages us to forget about those things of the old man and to focus on renewing our mind with the things of the new man. Behold, all things are become new. And so this is what we need to do. All right. Okay, so that is Paul's answer to this wicked heart that we talked about last week that we have within ourselves. And there's a real good, and talking more about the heart, I think it was just coincidental that this happens to be near Valentine's Day. I don't know how that happened. It's funny, the children's hospital that I'm working at, Le Bonheur, they celebrate every holiday to the extreme. And they like get all into it, and there's a whole group of like girls that decorate the hospital and decorate all the rooms and all that. And it's just very interesting working there, trying to work in this environment. And because, I don't know, there's something about the South. Like, I'm from Chicago, and They just didn't take their holidays as seriously as down here, I feel like. Well, Christmas and New Year, well, Christmas and Thanksgiving, well, that's because Thanksgiving you can buy all the Walmarts want you to buy everything, right? But Valentine's Day was always, but down here, everybody was wishing me happy Valentine's Day. And, like, I'm like, that, I've never really been wished a happy Valentine's Day as much as I have. And so I moved down here. And it was just a little odd. Like, all the, like, some of the, like, nurses made all this food. And, like, they actually, like, made food for this holiday. And they're like, oh, it's in the South. We always try to find an excuse to make food. I'm like, I'm like, all right. Hey, I'm not gonna complain. Food is hard to come by in my life. So, Valentine's Day, get some muffins or some cupcakes or something. I'm okay with that. But yeah, it was funny. It's just the children's hospital. All right, so. So David and his heart. So David is a good example in the Bible of someone who had a good heart. And if we go to 1 Samuel chapter 16. So we were already read this verse. But this verse we're going to talk about more. We're going to talk about David more. First Samuel chapter 16, verse 6. All right, so Samuel is working with God here to see who the next king of Israel is going to be, and he's looking on the sons of Jesse, and Jesse has some big, strong sons, right? And you can only imagine what they looked like, maybe some Tom Brady's or some Peyton Manning's, and. So in verse 6, and it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Eliab must have been, you know, some big strong guy. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh not on the outward, looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And we all know the shepherd in the Bible is always the lowly job. Abel was the keeper of sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, and anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil, and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Okay, so David is a really important person for us to study, because the Davidic covenant is a covenant that extends all the way, and it's talked about in Acts, and Paul talks about the Davidic covenant. And to understand mystery and prophecy, and understand God's earthly kingdom and the body of Christ in the heavenlies, we should understand the Davidic covenant, and we should understand that it started with David, and we should understand David's heart. Okay, and that's how I just wanted to tie that in, because I thought it was important for us to talk about. So David's heart. All this starts from his heart, okay? This whole covenant starts from David having a good heart. That's why God chose him. Go to Acts 13:22 and 23. So this is going through the history of Israel, and when they get to David, In verse 22, and when he had removed him, Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. What a wonderful thing for the Lord to say about David here, a man after mine own heart. And that's why he picked him, because when he looked at David's heart, he saw that David's heart was had the word of God, that he was with Christ in his heart, and that his will and his intents were of the Lord. And that proved to be true throughout David's life. There's just an interesting word in the King James Bible, how he says there, man after mine own heart, and how other verses where it talks about the heathen, how they go after the imaginations of their own heart. And the difference between having your heart with the Lord or doing things of your own heart. And David's was with the Lord. And verse 23, of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. And so out of David's seed, we're going to show how that's how Jesus came to be, the lineage of Jesus. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 9. So that's kind of interesting how in Samuel, God says he looked at David's heart, and then in Acts, God tells us what he saw in his heart, and that he was after his own heart. And that's why he picked him. In 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 4, in 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 4, he's talking to Solomon here. Okay, so Solomon was David's son and the next king of Israel. And so he's talking to Solomon here. And if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and wilt keep my statutes and my judgments. Okay? Now, this integrity of heart, I looked up the word integrity in the dictionary, and the first word that the two first words, it was wholeness and entirety, meaning your whole heart and the entirety of your heart. And I thought that was interesting, because then when I looked up in the Bible, whole and wholeness, it all were words describing David's heart. So that word integrity and whole are synonymous. And when God describes David's heart, let's go to Psalms chapter 9, verse 1. Go to Psalms chapter 9, verse 1. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. And that was the same word that was used to define the word integrity. And it's over, and this is only one verse, but there's 10 to 15 verses describing David and using his whole heart to trust in the Lord and to praise the Lord. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. And the Bible talks about having two sides of your heart. And we want to have our whole heart with the Lord. And that's the definition of, someone whose heart is perfect and someone after the Lord's heart. If we go to 1 Kings 14, verse 8, we'll go to back to 1 Kings 14. This is just another verse talking about David's heart. And rent the kingdom away from the house of David, and gave it thee. And yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments and who followed me with all his heart to do that only which was right in mine eyes. Okay? And so that's just another verse about David and his heart. And then the last verse about that, we'll go to Psalms 51:10. So even David still had a problem, you know, and David made mistakes, and we know of his mistakes, but God still said these things about his heart. And David, just as Paul, you know, knew he had a sin problem, David talks about his problem, his sin problem here in Psalms 51, verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And we're going to talk about God's plan for David's heart in the future, about how he's going to put a new heart into the Jews and a new spirit. And because David knew he had a problem too. And he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And even though David kept making mistakes, though, he kept always coming back to the Lord. And that's what the Lord wants. Okay, so because of David and because of his uprightness and integrity, he established this covenant with David. And this covenant is very important. And if we go to 2 Samuel chapter 7. All right. I know I'm always having you guys flip all over the place. All right. All these old testaments are kind of hard to find sometimes. All right, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 8. Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. Let's go to verse 12. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And go to 16. And thine house and thine kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. So he, out of David, out of his seed, he's going to create this kingdom, and Christ is going to be the king. And that's why in Matthew, when we read about, in Matthew, we're going to look there in a second, he was born of the lineage of David, okay? And it's kind of neat that we studied who David was and his heart and why God chose David to establish that covenant with. And this covenant is talked about now from here on out throughout the Bible, this covenant with David of this kingdom. And in Jeremiah 23, verse 5. Jeremiah 23, verse 5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Okay, so they were looking, this king to come. And when Christ came to the earth, he came as this king. And when he died on the cross, remember above the cross it said, here lies the king of the Jews, because that's who Christ came as. And he came as the king to be king in this kingdom that was promised to David. And this is all for the Jew. This is not. This had nothing to do with us. And then if we go to Matthew chapter 1, when Christ arrives on the earth, Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And then go to verse 6. And Jesse begat, this goes through the lineage. And Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon, of her that had been the wife of Uriah, and then so on and so on. And so, see how this goes. This tells how this Jesus Christ, who was born of the Virgin Mary, goes all the way back, his lineage here, all the way back to David, and to that promise that David was made to David in Samuel, made to that David whose heart was right with God, who he chose from the sons of Jesse. And it's talked about, we already read the verse in Acts, Acts 13, 23. Acts 13, 23. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. Okay? And right there, that promise of this man's seed, talking about David, hath God, according to his promise that God made to David in Samuel there, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. Okay? Acts 13:23. Yep. And so this kingdom that was supposed to come in, the Jews rejected Christ as their king, and they crucified him. And they did that because the Jews had an evil heart. And now we're going to look at the heart of the Jew and their heart that made them reject Christ as their king. Okay, this Davidic, it's interesting. I just thought of that. David had a good heart, and he was going to bring in the kingdom through David's seed. But the rest of the Jews had a bad heart, and they rejected that kingdom. And we're going to look at that bad heart now that the rest of the Jews had. And because of that rejection of the kingdom, Christ brought in the mystery with Paul. Or he used that opportunity to do so. When man's sin was at its highest, and when prophecy, when Christ was supposed to come back and judge the world in wrath for what they have done, he instead brought in grace and with through Paul. And when this age of grace is over, that prophecy is going to restart and the tribulation will come, and then this kingdom will eventually come in the future. But let's go back now to Israel's heart that brought them to reject this kingdom.
I was thinking about the words of Joseph. What you meant for evil, God meant for good. And you know, with the rejection by Israel and tribulation was to come, it's promise.
Yeah.
Came in.
Mm-hmm. Through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Yep. Mm-hmm. So now Israel's heart. We looked at David's heart, the good guy, right? And Israel had good guys, but Israel turned out to be no different than the Gentiles. And that's why God says there's no difference between Jew and Gentile, because they all had the same heart. And now God says, whosoever shall believe on him shall be saved, because he's dealing with man at their very core, and that's Adam and in Christ. And there's no difference. Jew meant nothing. So let's look at Israel's heart, which we're going to see is no different than the heathen's heart. Let's start. There's just a lot of verses that we could look at. Jeremiah 9:13. What time do we have? Oh, no. We don't have a lot of time. Okay, it's probably we shouldn't get into this then. We'll save it because it's already 11:56. All right, so We'll look into this next week, or next time I teach, which I was just working so long, so many hours. I shouldn't say, because... we'll look into this next week, next time, about Israel's heart and how there were lots of prophecy in Isaiah in the Old Testament that when Christ came to the earth, when the Jews rejected him, it fulfilled that prophecy of them not hearing and not seeing and not having a heart that understands. And when Christ came to the earth and did the miracles in front of their eyes, and they still rejected it, fulfilled the prophecy in the Old Testament that they would do so, that they would have eyes that don't see and whatnot. And it's very interesting when you read in the four Gospels the fulfillment of those prophecies of the Jews. And after those fulfillment of those prophecies, God was able to say, "You guys really are. I put it on full display here. I came to the earth for you. And now you've rejected me." And all those prophecies are fulfilled. And prophecy was then, the prophetic clock was then to continue. And like I've mentioned, we know what happens. So, but Israel had a bad heart. They had a bad heart. And then God is going to change their heart in the future. And we'll look at it next week or next time, but God's going to give Israel a new heart too. But we in the body of Christ can have that new heart today, because we are crucified with Christ and we are risen with him, and we just need to believe that doctrine in our heart, and that's when we can be made free. All right, let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for this fellowship that we can have together. We may be a small group, but we have your truth, and your truth is worth everything. And I pray that we can fear you and obey your word in our heart, and let it change our lives and the lives around us. Amen.
Thank you.
Yep.